women's restroom in Fellowship Hall still cannot be used yet. We're still working on plumbing issues. Not a thing bad, but just trying to get it up to where it's supposed to be. And please do not, those that take care of the valves that turn the water on, don't turn any closed water shutoffs on. Is that correct, Rick?
That's correct.
Okay. So we're just trying to take care of things so that nothing else happens with this. We did have a new water system installed in the boiler room. This water system takes care of all the acid that's been in our well water. We've had it treated and it's very acidic, and that's what's been corroding a lot of our pipes, we think. So that was put in this past week. That was an anonymous donor donated that, so no cost to the church, and the pH is now balanced, and now we're currently, or going to be slowly putting all the new fittings in and taking care of those. So cross your fingers and pray that we have no more leaks or burst pipes. We got a call from Sandy Campbell's family wondering if someone donated the hospital bed to her. They would like to return it. Okay, do you want me to give her your name or? Okay, I'll talk with you later and we'll figure out what we want to do there. Thank you. They wanted to just get it back. 5:30 on Tuesday this week, we are setting up for Swiss steak. Anyone that wants to help, we'll be doing that here in the hall. Swiss steak is this Thursday. If you have not seen Dave yet, which I can't imagine, please see him and let him know that you can help out with that, if at all possible. And there is a sign-up sheet for potluck for next Sunday, so please make sure your name is on the sign-up sheet if you plan on coming. We hope most of you will be there to meet, well, you've already met Dr. Hyman, and his wife will be coming down also. And last but not least, I think Pat has an announcement. Pat,
yes.
Yes. I didn't mean to surprise you with it, but I figured you'd know what it was. So she'd like to tell us some good news.
I have to make this announcement. On Monday night was the 42nd annual Sharon Community Trust meeting. And I went to represent Mount Swingley. Unfortunately, Rick wasn't able to go with me, but I was able to inform the community. They were very open that in the past 41 years, Sharon Trust has given over $449,000 back to the community. And Mount Swingley was, they request a grant, or they give a grant, they ask for a request. We requested this year to have the retaining wall in the back here, and they have granted our request. They also grant requests to the elementary, Sharon Elementary, the fire department, St. Paul's, Sharon Methodist, the Girl Scouts, the Boy Scouts, and we have two Boy Scout troops, the Sharon Women's Club, the Heritage Society, the Sharon Center of St. Paul's Lutheran, the Easter egg hunt that takes over, I think they said over 25,000 eggs they put out. The access to the arts and the Sharon Elementary Coat Grant. This year they were able to give every single request the amount that they requested. Mm-hmm. And that they said that in the past sometimes it was iffy. And sometimes they had to cut back a little bit. This year they gave over $30,050 to the different folks. So I am pleased to, I'll be putting this in the offering for a check for $1,800, which, if I'm not speaking out of turn, I believe it will take care of the retaining wall expenses. So God is good.
Yes.
I also, because I informed the community of, number one, the Swiss steak dinner, and they are all looking forward to it. And I also told them that we are now independent, and we will be Mount Zwingli Church instead of Mount Zwingli United Church of Christ. And they were very receptive to that also.
Great. Thank you so much for going for us, Pat. That was really nice. Thank you. That's all I have for announcements. Are there other announcements that I may have forgotten or missed? Okay.
Good morning. As you may see here, we have a lot of prayers because there are a lot of people on the prayer list. Excuse me. First, we have Becky Hogg, and Dave has requested that Pastor Dan Page, apparently his brother Brian, passed away, and prayers for his family. The Kirsten Swan family and Carol Day. David Gangle, his mom has requested prayers for him. Cheryl Couch, Susie Hockenberry, and Pat, can you?
On Tuesday, Susie went into the hospital with E. coli.
E. coli?
She was very, very sick. On Thursday, I came to Bell Choir and I put her name on the list. And on Thursday evening, the doctor and her condition had completely cleared up and she is well again. So I never, ever underestimate our prayer list and your prayers. They do work.
I told you, Bert. Next, we have Josh Cole, Hadeland Britannic, Georgia has requested that. Linda and Ryan Walsh, also from Georgia. Marjorie Miller from Donna. Linda S. Family, and Dave has asked that we continually pray for the Charlie Kirk family and his mission. Dave has also requested prayers for Becky Haig. I'm requesting prayers for my husband, who still remains in the hospital. They're not exactly sure which one, but he's getting a little bit better, so that's good. Alexis Littlejohn, I mentioned her before. She is the young lady that has incurable cancer. I just found out this past week that another one of my students, Amy Hollingsworth, had a spinal stroke. I didn't know that such a thing existed, and she's paralyzed her arms and her legs. And lastly, Bridget Mullins. That's kind of a mixed bag because on one hand, as I reported a few weeks ago, she hasn't had any seizures, so that's really great. But when she did have the seizure, she fell so many times that she had to have complete shoulder replacement, which is better than uncontrolled seizures. Thank you.
I did want to share a quote with you because this week, and his name's been mentioned here, Charlie Kirk was 31 years old. And we struggle with that. In fact, one of my friends wrote me from Pennsylvania because he had heard the verse, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those that love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose. But 31 is very young. And we see scriptures like Psalm 91, no harm shall befall you. Well, God has a different economy than we have. He looks at life different than we do. We often think of the earthly life, and he thinks, internal one. And the best quote that ever came to me that I read, because I've done funerals of a baby where they have to make the casket. And the oldest person I'd done a funeral for was 102. So, you know, you have the whole spectrum. But what about young people that die? I did my cousin's funeral. He was 57. To me, that's pretty young. My dad died at 44 of a heart attack. That's fairly young. The best quote I've ever heard was from Peter Marshall, who served as chaplain of the United States Senate. Listen carefully. He said, "The measure of a life, after all, is not its duration, but its donation." Isn't that a great quote? The measure of a life, how do you judge a man or woman's life, is not measured by its duration, how long it is, but by its donation, what they have given. Isn't that a beautiful quote? So I wanted to share that with you this morning. Actually, I had a note about it. But I've had to use that at some funerals because young people die too. And our Lord died at 33. Joan of Arc died at 19. 19. And yet changed the confluence of the world. So as we go to prayer today, and I'm so thankful, Nancy, right? Are you Nancy?
I am Nancy, yes.
Yeah. You had some praises today. We heard some praises, so we will praise him. But we will also petition him. Let's pray today. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, today we recognize the kingdom, and we recognize the King. And we come as servants of the King. Servants of you, the Most High God, servants who are empowered and equipped by the Holy Spirit himself that lives today in every believer in this sanctuary. And we praise you for answers that have come. Many have prayed. And we know sometimes you have a different direction for us to go, like you led Paul away from one area to go to another area and minister. There was a change of direction. He thought one way was your will, but it was another way. But today we thank you for all of those prayers that we have given to you, some with tears, and you have answered them. And so we celebrate that you are still active, you are still healing, you are still saving, as we heard today down at Coshocton Church, where Rick and Shelley's daughter ministers, that recently some young people gave their hearts to Christ and their destiny was changed from death to life. So we say hallelujah, praise be to Yahweh. But Lord, there are also other needs that have been mentioned. And we do think of this funeral today of a young man who leaves a wife and two young children. And we pray that you, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, will squeeze that family, will squeeze the mourners, and will help those people to understand that you have a purpose, that sometimes the death of a saint leads to the conversion of many sinners and changes a movement into a worldwide movement. But Lord, there is loss. There will be tears, but we rejoice in the destiny of our brother. We pray for those on sick beds. Lord Jesus, we know you're the greatest of physicians. You can raise people up. You created this body, therefore you can heal it. And we submit humbly, reverently, but with expectation that you have heard us and you will do what is best. Please bless the choir as they sing to us. Thank you for Shelley's special. And Lord, I ask that the message of today, that the army cannot be divided, the house divided against itself cannot stand. But when we are unified around your word, by your Holy Spirit, we become a formidable army. And so I ask you to bless your word and take us beyond human preparation to that level where the Holy Spirit himself is speaking to all of us. We commit ourselves to you, to the cause of Jesus, and we commit ourselves knowing that you love us with an everlasting love. And in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, we pray, and all God's people say,
Amen.
Let's thank the Lord. Father, every good and perfect gift, even like this gift that was just given to me, is from above. It's inspired from above. It's packaged from above. And we as your people, the sheep of your pasture, we enter into the gates with thanksgiving. We enter into the courts with praise. We're thankful unto you, and we bless your name. And one of the ways we bless your name is by our stewardship. And you know that. And I ask that today, the way we give and what we give will reflect our gratitude to you, the Almighty God. And may you use it and multiply it. And may it strengthen this church. And may it reach as you see best and fit to this community, to our state, and to the far reaches of the world in missions. We ask this boldly because you can do whatever you want to do, however you want to do it, with whomever you want to do it, whenever you want to do it. And we just praise your name. And our offerings and tithes are now given to you in the name of one, the indescribable gift, even our Lord Jesus Christ. And all the people say,
Amen.
Amen.
Christ.
Yes.
Okay.
I've never had that kind of reception.
Okay, here we go. Paul called to the apostle of Christ, Jesus, by the will of God, and our brother, Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who are in every place, call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Jesus Christ. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any of the spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you will be blameless in your day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you are in agreement and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose.
Yes. Thank you, Nancy.
You're welcome.
I grew up in a holiness church, and so I'm used to amens. And amen actually comes from the Bible. And in fact, there's a double amen. One of my staff members up at Amherst, my last full-time church, said, I don't know about that. Well, it's in the Bible where they went, amen and amen. And amen means that's right. So when I amend you, I was saying what you just said was right. Now, if I say a wrong, that's different. When I said amen, that's right.
Never heard of a wrong.
Yeah, I didn't either. I didn't either. But the next song we're going to sing before I preach the word was written by a gang member, believe it or not. His father had died, and he was a very young man, and he got into gangs and descended into sin. And then he was converted by the great evangelist George Whitfield. Whitfield and Wesley brought revival to England. And he wrote the song, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Now, probably the most famous phrase in this, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the Lord I love. Okay. And he kind of expressed what we express at times. You know, I don't want to drift, but I feel like I'm drifting. Also, the word, growing up as a young boy in the Holiness Church, we did a lot of singing, and sometimes they'd sing a word I didn't know what it meant, and that bothered me. And you will see the word Ebenezer. Okay, Ebenezer means you're here, like Israel was coming out of Egypt, and you're on your way to the promised land. And so as they made their way through the Exodus, the way out, they're going to the promised land, and they set up a stone, Ebenezer, which means the Lord has brought me this far. Okay? So whenever you see the word, it means God has brought me this far. It's an affirmation of God's leading, God's blessing, God's victory. But there's still a ways to go. So, today, we're going to sing this song, which is probably familiar to many of you, but number 16, would you stand with me? Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, and we'll see Great Song of Faith. Together. And what I just spoke about, the publisher of the hymnal changed the wording. Because the original says in stanza two, "Here I raise my Ebenezer," but you didn't sing that because they took that out and put, "Here I raise to thee an altar," which is an incorrect translation, by the way. "Hither by thy help I'm come." That's the meaning of Ebenezer. So you sing the word Ebenezer, and then "by thy help I'm come." It is more important than ever that the people of Mount Zwingli Church be together, be unified, be one. I'm thinking of what Paul wrote to the Philippians when he said, "Whatever happens, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I see you or hear about you in my absence, you're striving in one spirit as one man for the sake of the gospel." So this congregation that he is writing to, and I'm speaking to you today, that you're striving in one spirit, the Holy Spirit. There are many spirits, but the Holy Spirit, and you're striving as one man for the sake of the gospel. The army cannot be divided. And those of you who weren't here for the first message on 1 Corinthians, I was sharing that this was his most troubled church. The series, Surviving Babylon. How do we survive in an age of decadence and decay, where wealth is all around us, and for America, we are the number one country in the world. No economy approaches ours. A $30 trillion economy. The next largest is $18 trillion. All right? $30 trillion. So we have a lot. We have home and appliance and car, and we have all of this. And Babylon was that kind of nation, the Babylonians. They had a lot, but they also then were led into deep sin and destructive tendencies. So Paul was writing to the Corinthians to kind of correct them, affirm them, but also warn them, if you're not together in this, if you're not together in this, you're going to fail. And our Lord said what? Again, a house divided against itself cannot stand. So I look forward to preaching today, because this message is certainly needed in the church. And you might ask me, Pastor Clay, have you ever been involved in a church fight or in a church conflict? Yeah, I could probably write a book about them after 50 years. But I can remember one board meeting, and that's probably where I've seen my most carnal side, especially when I was younger, in church board meetings, because I wanted to get something accomplished, and I thought we were going the wrong direction, or someone didn't have the facts, or they weren't speaking correctly, and I got upset. I had one elder meeting where the one elder slammed his fist down on the table, and one of our other elders, who was in his 70s, I wonder if he almost didn't have a heart attack. So I've seen it in my first church. It was a very small church when it started. The Sunday school superintendent called me out to fight him in the alley. And I would have whooped his butt. Because he was a small guy, and I wrestled and played football and worked in construction. And I'm sorry I said that. I'm not really sorry, but I shouldn't have said that. But so things happen in the church. Now, sometimes it's among the people. Something happens and we won't talk to people for years and years. Or we kind of avoid them. That's not what God calls us to do. We have been entrusted. I haven't started the message yet, so don't time me, Joey. We have been entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Amen? So if we've been entrusted with that, we ought to be able to ask for forgiveness, to forgive, to bring us together. This will be so important as you get your new pastor, as you start to write a new chapter. But some churches don't survive their divisions. And the church at Corinth was at jeopardy. They were standing at Jeopardy Road. So, I want to open with a cartoon, probably one of the most famous cartoons of the last 100 years, but the famous Pogo cartoon. And it's a picture of Pogo, and he's crawling back to his army, and you can see in the horizon the bombs are exploding, the grenades are going off. He's in the midst of a battle, and he's crawling back to his army, and he says, we have met the enemy, and they is us. In other words, we're the enemy. We're self-destructive. Friendly fire. So, and I'm not saying I don't know your church, but I know people, and this is a temptation at times because of pride or our opinion or the way it's always been done. Churches do get into conflict. Well, we're going to see how we solve them and why they should be solved. But let's start with football. The Cleveland Browns have been wrestling to get a quarterback for many, many years. Would you agree with that? And 14 years ago, first week of September, is it Hoyer or this upstart from Texas A&M, Johnny Manziel? Do you remember that name?
Yeah.
Right. And Peter King is a sports writer. Those of you who know sports, Rick and others, you see him on television. He's very reputable. And he interviewed one of the players, Dante Whitmer, who was a defensive back, about this division. Who's going to start? Is it Hoyer or is it Manziel? And his reply was not the reply that Cleveland fans wanted to hear. He said, it's 50-50. Do you know what? As I stand here today, as you sit here today, as we worship God today, there is still a quarterback controversy in Cleveland. Should Joe Flacco continue? Should it be this shorter quarterback who played 6 years of college ball, I believe, Gabriel Dillon, who came in last week, scored, led them to a touchdown, or should it be Shedeur Sanders, this wonder boy from Colorado? And so it goes on and on. And, you know, I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and we have our own controversy right now, but I don't want to share that because I don't want to down my team. I would rather down your team. But as I said, Jesus said, any kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. By the way, any marriage divided against itself cannot stand. Any company divided against itself cannot stand. So the message is transferable to all areas of life, but now we're talking about the church. The churches I've pastored and your church. And so, America, our country, would you say we are now in a time of controversy, of disagreement, of division? Right? We have ethnic divisions. We have political divisions. We have racial divisions. And it's interesting, when Nancy read the word, I thought of the Greek word. When you read the word, Paul says, I appeal to you. I appeal to you. That is the word we use of the Holy Spirit, the paraclete. Have you ever heard that in Sunday school today? He is the paraclete. Para, alongside, kletos, called. Called alongside. The Holy Spirit is the one, according to Scripture, who is called alongside us and escorts us through life. Works within us and without us. Okay. But now Paul uses that same word, parakletos, said, I appeal to you. In other words, I'm coming alongside you. I want to see that you don't go over the cliff. All right? And what's he appeal to? He appeals to his brothers. And the Greek word, adelphoi. I'm from Pennsylvania, so there's a big city. Their team is the Eagles. What is the city?
Philadelphia.
And they don't live up to their name, by the way. Phileo is love. Okay, Adelphi, brothers. And the Quaker founder of Pennsylvania, William Penn, labeled the city of brotherly love. Well, they need a lot of love in Philadelphia today. Now, the team is good, but the city, I dare you to walk down the streets during the evening without someone with you, without one of those sprays that my wife carried, or without a gun. I mean, but the original intent was, this is the city of Adelphoi, brothers together serving God. He says, I appeal to you now as family. And isn't Mount Zwingli a family? You seem like that to me. You love each other, you care for each other, you hug each other. You sing to interim pastors, praise God. He appeals for agreement in the name of the Lord. Let's agree on the basis that we are followers of Jesus. We are following together. We are moving forward together. We are unified together. And he appeals against divisions. And the Greek word there, and I have it in your outline, and thank you, Julie, for putting the outline in there, schisms. The Greek word is schismata, and we get the English word schisms. And you know what that is? A division of that. You know, people are going in opposite directions. He said, I appeal to you not to have these divisions. And he said, I appeal to you to be united in mind and thought. And that's an interesting word. William Barclay, the great English scholar, said it means to knit bones together. Have any of you ever had a compound fracture in your life? You have? Anybody have? Okay. So, you know, there has to be something done. I mean, the bone is sticking outside the flesh. Okay. And there has to be a knitting process by the surgeon to bring that bone into alignment. That's what he's saying to the church. And believe me, I served in the district office not far from you in Wadsworth of the Christian Missionary Alliance. And I think I told you, Faye and I worked with 74 churches. At times I had to go in and close a church, which is not something I wanted to do. And at times you have to get involved in these church conflicts. Believe me, brothers and sisters, there are some churches with compound fractures. And there needs to be a knitting together of the church. Okay. One of my interims that I did in the last few years, the church divided, and it started in a worship service just like this. At the end of the worship service, the pastor was closing the service, and somebody stood up in the church and accused somebody in the church, I'm talking right now, of doing something, and brother, there was a brawl, not physically, but vocally. And people started taking sides. And so it was so bad. I was up speaking at Beulah Beach. You ever hear of Beulah Beach? It's a church camp. I was the Bible speaker. That the district superintendent and the development director called me out after I was done and said, Arnie, I want you to go in there, and I want you to go in there right away. And that was a situation that really demanded knitting. And did people leave the church? Yes. Did people get upset with the church? Yes. And when you come in as a new person, a new interim, people want to tell you what went wrong and who did wrong. And that's a bad sign. When you're working with your children, your grandchildren, your neighbor, your friend, here's a counseling tip. I won't even charge an extra offering for this. If the person you are trying to help, giving counsel to, advice to, talks only about the past, you probably won't be able to help them. A counselor listens to the tense, Brian, the tense of how they talk. If they start talking about the present, some light, maybe you can help them. But once they start talking about the future, there's a great possibility they're going to be healed. So that's free and post-pay. You listen to the person. And if they're always talking about the past, they have to put it under the blood of Jesus. And until they do, they're not going to get healed. If they start talking to the present, about the present, about change, great. And once they start saying, you know what, I'm going to put that behind me and I'm going to go forward. I'm going to go forward. In baseball, we talk about the 3-second rule. How many of you played baseball or softball? Would you raise your hand? A few of you? All right. I pitched some, and that wasn't my main position. I played outfield in high school and college. But people hit home runs off of me in Little League. And the 3-second rule means this. I had a coach tell me this. He said, you got 3 seconds to be sorry, to grieve about what you did, and then you start thinking about the next pitch you're going to throw. You can't keep, and there are quarterbacks like this in football. They're all upset about the interception, so their mind gets divided, and they're not really focused on what they're doing, and they aren't worth 2 cents the rest of the game. You know what I'm talking about? So, you've got to put it under the blood. You've got to give it to the Lord. Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. So, and there was a mole in the church. There was a woman. This is not in a negative fashion, but her name was Chloe. And Chloe reported to Paul, she was kind of the spy, about the quarrels that were happening. And what were they about, Pastor Arnie? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Rick, I'm so glad you were thinking about this. What are the quarrels? Well, they were saying, we follow different people. All right? One said, I'm following Paul, who wrote the letter to the Corinthians. One said, I'm following Apollos. Now, Apollos, what we know from Scripture, he was a wonderful orator, and he was probably extremely bright, high IQ guy. Okay? And God used him. And one said, I'm following Cephas, which is another name for Peter. So you got Paul, you got Apollos, you got Cephas or Peter, and then you got Jesus. So they're going in 4 different directions. And Paul's got to correct that. You shouldn't be following me. You shouldn't be following Apollos. You shouldn't be following Peter. You should be following Jesus. And all the people say, amen. Amen. So we have to watch this, even in the church, that we're not following an individual or a leader. We all are to be following Jesus. Now, after this appeal, and you heard the scripture read, and I told you what it meant, to come alongside, just like the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, he said, I'm coming alongside you. He has this argument to unite. And I'm going to give you one of the best illustrations I've ever heard in my Christian life. And I've served the Lord for over 6 years. So get ready. You might want to take this one down. It's not yet. It's going to happen in about 2 minutes. So you got a 2-minute warning. Here it comes. He says, Christ is not divided. You know, we haven't cut our Lord in half. He said, I was not crucified for the sins of the world. Okay? So you shouldn't be following me. Jesus was crucified for the sins of the world. In fact, Paul would write, he became sin for us. He took on our sins, my sins, your sins, all of our sins for us. He said, I wasn't crucified. And he said, about the baptism argument, baptism was not administered in several names. When we baptize, do you have a baptistry in the church? Are you baptized? Oh, good. Okay. So when you have baptized people here at Mount Zwingli, and typically you say, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, okay, I baptize you in those names, basically in the Lord's name, the name of Jesus. Now, I will tell you this. When I baptized, I would put all 3 names together, okay, and just do it all at once. I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But if people talk about me, my wife, my children, or grandchildren, or the Pittsburgh Steelers, I baptize them. I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Take them down 3 times. Anyhow. Paul's name was not in there. Peter's name was not in there. We were not mentioning man. We were mentioning the Lord God Almighty, who has 3 persons, 1 nature, 3 persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Paul said, you're not baptizing people in my name. And then he said, you know, I baptize people, but I never baptize in my name. Which I want to give you a hint. Whenever you see a ministry that makes too much of a person, in other words, their name is in lights and it's this big name, and this big name is the one who everyone gives to and applauds and all that, you have to be really careful. Because the name above every name is Jesus. And we have to be careful that it's not us getting the glory and not Jesus. Now here comes the illustration. Are you ready? You got your pen ready? I hope you do. Julie, you got your pen ready? Thank you. A.W. Tozer. Have you ever heard of him?
Yes.
It's on Christian radio. Guys quoted him. He was Christian Missionary Alliance. Believe it or not, Bo, you'll know this. He only went to the eighth grade. And yet, the greatest minds of the last 100 years have quoted him. A.W. Tozer. He was self-taught and wrote all these different books. I mean, book after book. And they're still being published and they're still being bought. I just saw a redoing of another of his books. He said this. And when Tozer speaks, you better listen. He said, where's Jenny at?
Right here.
Good. Jenny, you'll like this. It's a piano illustration. He said, if you have 100 pianos in a room, and they are all tuned to the same tuning fork, they are tuned to each other. In other words, if all those 100 pianos are tuned to one tuning fork, they are tuned to each other. Here's the point. If we all who are saved have the Holy Spirit in us, then we should be tuned to each other because all of us have the Holy Spirit. I do not believe two believers need to get a divorce. Why? You say that, Pastor. Well, because if they have the Holy Spirit and they're listening to the Holy Spirit, they can get together. Right? They should be tuned to the Holy Spirit. Therefore, they are tuned to each other. Are you with me, church?
Yes.
I mean, again, in 50 years, I mean, whew. I saw the one lady, she put marks all over her husband. I mean, I have seen some things in 50 years. My oldest son, Matt, said, Dad, you should write a book on that. And I'm not going to do it because I'd be sued. But some of the things I've seen don't lead me to believe that the Holy Spirit is controlling that person's life or that couple's marriage. And same in the church. If you got two people who are at odds, if they are tuned to the Holy Spirit, then they should be able to be reconciled to each other. Are you with me? Are you with me? It works. It works. And sure, we have to swallow our pride at times. And sure, you know, the other person was wrong, maybe, and maybe I was wrong. Usually, I found out that there's a wrong on both sides. No one person was perfect and the other person was flawed. But the Holy Spirit. So in your church, as you go forward, and time, we are people, we are humans. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the one I love. There will be these times where some tension develops and you have to get it together because of the Holy Spirit in you and the Word of God that calls us to unity, to the knitting of people. Are you with me, church? I won't be speaking that many times. I'm giving you my best cream of the crop. Here it is. Here it is. You know, I won't, you know, be week to week and all that. All right. So you got that piano illustration?
Yes.
You'd like that. I know you did. You already got your candy bar. You're not getting another. Finally, after he appeals, and you heard Nancy read the word, I'm coming alongside, Paracletos. And he's arguing that you have to be united, okay, knitted together, all right? Then his final is the apologetic to preach the gospel. That's what he said I'm about. Not if I'm baptizing this person or that person, my name is up in lights. No, it's about preaching. He said, my primary purpose is not to baptize. Now, I do believe every Christian, every believer that accepted Jesus Christ should be baptized. And you say, well, Pastor Flavo, how do you know that? Well, I know based on the book of Acts, Acts 2, 37 and 38, when Peter preaches the Pentecostal sermon after the Holy Spirit fell on the disciples and those gathered in the upper room, he preaches a sermon and 3,000 people were saved. And the Bible says, and they were cut to the heart, and they asked Peter, what should we do now? He said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. Look, there are ways to get baptized. You know, I mean, I know some people are afraid of water. There are three modes. Sprinkling, and whenever I sprinkled, I tried to make sure I sprinkled enough water that it would ruin a woman's perm. You know, I really, because there's people out there saying, baptize. No, this is true. And then pouring, and then, of course, immersing in water, which is the best way to illustrate what Romans talked about. We die to sin, we go under, and then we're resurrected. And so, you know, there are different ways, but don't say, man, I'm saved, I don't need to be baptized. Well, you want to be obedient, yes, then you should be baptized. And I would plead with you, follow the words of Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And by the way, Jesus was baptized himself. If you're going to follow him, you follow him through the waters of baptism. All right. So that's my little side sermon. But he said, my primary purpose is to preach the gospel. And that's why Rick and Shelley, when your son, and I told you, I pray for him today. I try to pray for him every day that I'm still living and have breath. I have a list of pastors I pray for. That when he's preaching, then these young people come up after the service and say, I want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to get saved. That is what he is to be about. And Mount Zwingli, you have to be about winning the lost, building the found, and helping people discover their gifts to go out, equipping them for the work of ministry. Okay, so you have to be involved with winning, building, and equipping. But winning is a part of it. And he said, that's what I'm about. I'm preaching the gospel. And I put the Greek word in there. You'll know it. Evangelism in Greek is euangelistai. I'm about good news. I'm about good news. And so when I walk, and the way I talk, and the way I give, and the way I respond to criticism, it's all part of good news because of Jesus. Now, Paul's life and his purpose was not foggy or muddy. He knew he was wrapped around preaching the gospel. And he said, I didn't do it with eloquence. I wasn't Apollos. And remember, they criticized how he looked. He wasn't a very attractive man. And he admitted it. He said, you know, some say, you know, I'm not a very formidable person, the way I look. And the way I talk is not like eloquent. And Apollos was eloquent. Some said, I'm going to follow Apollos. He's the one with silver tongue. Okay? He said, nope. I'm not going to empty the cross of its power, because the cross, right there in front of your church, and right there in the back of your church, the cross, and what Jesus did at the cross, that's where the dynamite is. Amen. That's where it happened. That's where the sin that bound you and I, the chains were broken. Hallelujah. And he said, I'm about setting people free through the good news of the gospel. So, when this becomes not the person's purpose, then the kingdom of Satan flourishes. But when we're preaching the gospel, Satan trembles. And that's what we're to be about. So as a church, being warned that the world has come to the front door of the church and is inviting us to join it. And if you weren't here in the first sermon, this is one of the basic points of the series, Surviving Babylon. Listen carefully. The church is to be changing the culture not the culture changing the church. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Okay. Now, I have two closing illustrations that I've done. You're going to like both of them. I just added one this week, and my wife laughed and laughed and laughed. Here's the first one. In his book, Great Church Fights, that's an actual book. I have it in my library. Leslie Flynn, the writer, he's a conservative Baptist, he tells of two unmarried sisters. And they lived together, and something happened. It was a small thing, but it caused an argument. And so they stopped speaking to each other, but they lived in the same house. They used the same kitchen, but they never talked. They went in the same living room. They never talked. They slept in the same bedroom, drew a line. This is where you sleep, this is where you sleep. They could hear each other breathing at night, but they never talked to each other. Now, isn't that silly? But that happens to people where relationships are aborted. They're destroyed. And people won't take a step towards the person that offended them or towards the person they offended. It sounds silly, but it happens. Now, my final story. A bishop, John Reed, was driving a school bus in Australia. And he had whites and Aborigines there. And they were having squabbles. They were having fights on the bus that he's driving. So he pulls off the road and he takes the white boys and he said, "What color are you boys?" And the white boys said, "White." He said, "No, you're not. Anybody that rides my bus is green. So I want to ask you again, what color are you?" And the white boy said, "Green." Then he looked at the Aborigines, and he said, "What color are you Aborigines?" And they said, "Black." He said, "No, you're not. Any Aborigine that rides this bus, he's green. I'm going to ask you again, what color are you?" And the Aborigines said, "Green." It seemed like things were going to be solved. Peace had come. So he heard a few miles down the road, a boy in the back of the bus said, "All you light green people sit on this side, and all you dark green people sit on this side." Are you with me, church?
Yes.
I sometimes have acted like it. And let's be careful. If we're tuned to the Holy Spirit, we can forgive, we can knit it together, and as a church, the more unified you are, the more you'll mean to God and the kingdom. And all the people say,
amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, so Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we want to please you, we want to obey your commandments, we want to reflect the character of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, not to be divided in our homes, in our communities, and especially in our churches. And I just pray for Mount Zwingli that they will be striving as one man for the sake of the gospel. They'll be led and escorted by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as they go forward to write a new chapter for you. Thank you for those who are reconcilers in this church. Thank you for those who forgive and look over mistakes, errors, and perhaps things that are said that shouldn't be said. Thank you for the peacemakers. And your Son said they would be called the children of God. Help us to be peacemakers. And I pray this and I ask it in the name of the Prince of Peace, even our Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people say,
amen.
Amen. God bless you.